Oh my God, did you see, David, the Andy Murray Amazon Prime documentary the other night?
Did I?
It's called Resurfacing, which is really clever because his hip operation was resurfacing his hip, and his comeback is like him resurfacing, coming to the surface of the water. It was a warts and all documentary, and when I say warts and all, it was zits and blackheads and pussy spots. You saw everything. You even saw his bum crack at one time. And it just showed the kind of journey of this knight of the realm, the Scottish independence champion, knighted by the Queen, from a pale young Scottish boy to becoming Wimbledon champion after 77 years of hurt. We waited 77 years in England for a Wimbledon champion, and then a Scotsman came along. David?
Ready? One second.
It's a recording.
It's recording.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to tonight's episode of Unforced Errors.
Yeah.
I'm the Dalai Lama.
And I, who am I, man, again? I am the
Pope John
Pope.
Paul II.
Yes, I am the Pope John the Second.
I think we'll start again. We'll start
Let's
again,
start
start
again,
again, start again.
What is John the Second?
Pope John Paul II.
John Paul II. Who's that guy?
He was Pope. He's dead
He's
now.
Very important. Ah, he's dead.
Yes, he was a very important man.
I'm dead already. Shit.
Not sure if he likes tennis, which, of course, is what Unforced Errors is all about tonight. And what is tonight's episode called, David?
The episode today is called Hello.
Hello.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah, that's a great name, isn't it?
Someone should write a song about it.
Yeah, man, Jim comes up with the best titles for our show. It's pretty incredible.
And what's the concept of Hello, Goodbye?
Yeah, so today we're talking about a few different things. We're going to wrap up the year because it's December, isn't it? It's the year end
so
of.
So that's the goodbye
10th.
part.
That's the goodbye part. And the hello is, I guess it's to talk about what's to come.
Predictions.
Is
We'll be looking at each other's crystal balls.
Oh, yes, exactly.
In some detail. And in the goodbye corner, we say goodbye to a much loved female player who we'll mention later.
Yes, we will.
So to kick off the ball, should we start with hello? We've just had the ATP Tour End Finals, and we've also had the Davis Cup, the new Davis Cup week-long competition. So, did you get to watch the ATP Tour
I
Finals?
did get to watch the ATP Tour Finals.
And what did you think?
It gave me hope. Would you say so?
I think a lot of the time the ATP Tour Finals are quite scrappy. There's quite short rallies that the players almost look like they're struggling to refine their form. They're caught between the end of one season and the start of another. But I thought the quality was good. There were some surprise results. And of course, the big hello was hello to not just the champion, but, three players, I think, really showed that they could push on. Medvedev might have been the favorite of the new guys to do that. He was maybe the biggest disappointment. But yeah, Tsitsipas, the champion. Team, the runner-up, had a heavy cold, covered himself in glory though.
Pretty
And
impressive.
Zverev, too, I think, had a good tournament. So is this, David, the dawn of a new era? Because in 2016, we had Andy Murray winning the ATP Tour Finals, and then his career nosedived after that. He reached number one. In 2017, a man called Grigor Dimitrov, you might remember him, look him up on Wikipedia if you've forgotten that he did play tennis. He won 2017, and then 2018, Zverev won before going into free fall. So what's different about Tsitsipas? Surely it's his turn to feel the jinx of the ATP Tour throne.
Yes, it's interesting because the last three ATP Masters Finals champions have been three new generation kids.
Yes.
First Dimitrov, then Zverev, and now Tsitsipas. And that's what gets me excited. For me, the O2 Finals was very special because of a few reasons. not only because the young kids on the block, although Tim is not that young, to be honest, but you get what I mean.
That is true,
the generation.
Middle-aged.
Middle-aged. Not only, of course, we had a winner again in the final without one of the big three, but as
almost
well...
Almost unheard of.
Almost unheard of. There's always one of them. Last year, Djokovic lost to Zverev in the final.
Yeah.
The switch is happening. It feels that way. Maybe something is happening. Medvedev was a disappointment, but he really played an insane year of
tennis. I think he deserved a rest. But the important thing from the ATP, perhaps, and it'd be very telling, we'll maybe soon find out, is Tsitsipas broke the losing streak against him. Medvedev had never lost to Tsitsipas.
Can you believe that?
I think, was this a one-off? If the next gen really are going to push through, that might determine it. Tsitsipas now thinks, I can beat him. Or will Medvedev go, I'm going to close the gate. That was a one-off. I can beat him 9 times out of 10.
Yes.
That was the 1 time out of 10.
I think it was it was 7 wins in a row by Medvedev. And we were talking about their chemistry just one of these past episodes. And it's
a volatile chemistry, isn't it?
Yes, some hostility there. And at the end, the shake was not friendly again.
I think a big difference between this generation coming up, if they are the next generation, and the previous generation who had a lot of respect for each other.
Yes, between these two, there's no love lost. But for example, between Tim and Tsitsipas, you saw the way they embraced at the end of the final.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Tim put his head on Tsitsipas' shoulder. It was almost like a brother's embrace. Yeah, something
yes.
like that. It was very beautiful to see.
Maybe that's what we need to see. Maybe the previous generations haven't come through and challenged the big three, big four, big five because they've been too nice. They've been worshipping at the statue of Djokovic, Federer and Nadal, whereas these guys have a kind of healthy disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you've got what I want. I want what you have. And if that means snarling at you occasionally and... being a bit rude to ball boys and not being that kind in my handshake at the end, so be it.
Yes, it's very noticeable that when they lose against... Come on in. Dinner? Okay, I'm coming.
Ooh. Go for it.
Nom, nom, nom. Yeah, so in this case, it's very noticeable that when these youngsters, they lose against the big three, there's almost like an immediate acceptance to their loss.
Yeah.
Whereas when they're playing the new generation, they feel, I gotta be the one. And they really want to beat each other. So there is more rivalry there. Hopefully these wins, maybe it inspires them to start disrespecting them a little bit more.
I think so,
look at
yes.
the last year. What happened? Another 4 Grand Slams won by 2 of the 3. Djokovic and Nadal won all the Grand Slams.
Absolutely, yes.
It's time for them to say...
kill or be killed.
That's it. Exactly.
Yeah.
I gotta say that for me, one of the highlights of the O2 was definitely Federer finally beating Djokovic since 2015.
Do you know, in all the excitement of Tsitsipas winning, I'd forgotten. Because I'm sure after he kind of made his comeback and won the Australian Open.
Against Nadal?
I'm sure there was a time when he was beating Nadal and Djokovic and his backhand was really firing.
Of course, yes.
So to think that it's 4 years. But maybe there was a time when Federer came back when he was getting to the finals and Djokovic was in real decline and wasn't reaching those finals. Maybe when Federer had his comeback, Djokovic wasn't good enough to get to the finals and meet him. Their peaks didn't coincide.
Yes.
Which protected Djokovic's record against Federer.
Yeah. Now, you noticed how Federer celebrated that win?
Yes.
Against Djokovic. Did you see him jump like he won a tournament?
His feet left the surface.
They left the surface. And you know, when I was watching live that match and those feet left the surface, I knew that he was not going to win the O2 finals.
Right, that was his final.
That was his final. Yeah. I've never seen, in my experience, of course, I might be missing out on something, a player of any kind jump like that and celebrate a semi or a quarter final or a round robin match and then be able to win the next match. And Federer knows this. The way he celebrated, all his focus for the tournament left there. And he won his year having that revenge, not only over 4 years of not beating Djokovic, but as well on the loss that he had, the brutal loss at Wimbledon.
But when people look back on Federer's career and Djokovic's career, will they remember more if he'd won the ATP this year or if he could just beat Djokovic and finish 27-26 in their head-to-head? It's a war within a war, and maybe this little battle of their head-to-head is bigger than the war of winning the ATP Tour Finals. They've both won it before.
They did.
It's not a Grand Slam. Maybe the head-to-head, in many ways, is more important than the non-Grand Slam events, winning those.
Yes, definitely. One of the highlights for me is finally Federer beating Djokovic. Even for the rivalry, it's healthy. Because when one rival starts beating the other too much, then it's too much.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what do you think, Jim, including the O2, what did you think of this year and your thoughts overall?
About 2019, it was a strange year. It was much of the same as before in terms of the big three. But I think looking back on it, Djokovic of the men will probably feel a slight sense of underachievement in terms of he won the first Grand Slam of the year, I think, didn't he, against Nadal pretty tidily, fairly one-sided, and Nadal does not get beaten easily,
no,
especially by his
true
big rivals. So, you know, we were all set for the Nole Grand Slam, maybe even a calendar Grand Slam.
I remember.
But then the French Open team reinforces his dominance over Djokovic at the French Open and then threatens to overthrow Nadal in the final as well. And it's Nadal, business as usual, and then awful sense of foreboding with the Wimbledon final.
Oh,
Djokovic, Federer, I'm very happy Federer's made the final. Djokovic always beats Federer, especially at Wimbledon, four sets easily. Oh. And Federer, I think he surprised us all. It reminded me of Roddick when Roddick made the final against Federer for the third time. And you thought, here we go. Why does he bother making the final? He's going to lose. And Roddick pushed Federer very close, as did Federer.
We will linger on that final for the rest of our lives, I tell you.
And so will Federer, who had some great moments, some great days in the office.
He did.
But maybe no great weeks at the Grand Slam. So glad he came back at the French Open. People said, don't play it again. But I'm glad he came back because he did really well to reach the semi-finals.
Yes.
So
he
I'm
won
happy
the Miami,
about that.
Miami Masters 1000.
But by Federer's high standards, which are higher than most people's standards,
at
I think,
38
we'll
years
agree,
old.
He must look back and be slightly disappointed and just look at results, as he said, like beating Nadal at Wimbledon in the semi-finals and pushing Djokovic so close and beating Djokovic at the ATP as great one-off results, but still no extra silverware. He's going from the greatest winner of all time, which he still is, to the greatest runner-up of all time. I think Nadal will look back and see it as a great season. And finally, before handing over to you, David, I think it's hello, goodbye, the theme of this episode. Hello to the Davis Cup, the new format, which we haven't talked about too much yet. I like the new format in terms of it's all over. A match between two countries happens on one day in the new format, whereas the old Davis Cup would take place over 3 days. I like that. It was more like the Olympics. So that's a good thing. And as we said earlier, Tsitsipas, Medvedev, amazing year at the US Open. So there's little roots of change, little buds coming through the earth, like a new springtime. But will it be a full storm? So that's my review of the year. David, how was it for you?
Yeah, I like your review. It sums up very well the year on the side of the men's tennis. It was a year that we were hoping for one of the new Masters, hopefully, one day.
And we nearly got our wish, didn't we?
We nearly got. I mean, that final between Nadal and Medvedev was insane. Nobody expected for Medvedev to come back from two sets to love. That's what gave me hope for Medvedev, because any other player that we've seen in the last decade or two decades, if it's two sets down versus one of the big
against
three.
Against Nadal.
Maybe you
against
don't come
maybe
back.
Against Federer. Okay, yeah, it's happened before. But against Nadal or Djokovic?
No, it doesn't happen. And he almost won it.
Yeah.
So that gave me hope. I think it's worth mentioning Medvedev's year because the guy was in all the finals. It's just final after final, but he was the runner-up a few more times than the champion. I mean, but we, still,
yeah,
wow.
We had the
Who
summer. We had the summer of Sam.
Yes.
In the 1970s, this was the summer of Medvedev. He was everywhere. If you went down a tennis court, he would be there playing in the final.
He would.
No matter what tennis court you
went
to.
It was incredible. And if you think about it, who had the best year other than the people that won Grand Slams? It's been Medvedev. I don't even think it's Tsitsipas. Tsitsipas ended on a high note. He had a good year.
Yeah.
But Medvedev, this was his year. And if next year he's winning instead of being the runner-up, let's see what's to come. But then, here we go. Tsitsipas beat Medvedev at the final of the O2 and leaves the question mark. Is Medvedev still going to do the same next year or not? Is Tsitsipas the one that is going to step up? So this year raised a few questions. Even Tim stepped up and is so close to beating Nadal at the final at the French Open.
Absolutely.
So, the doors of the future are opening up. And for me, that's the biggest thing about this year is that somehow it feels that the old guard is finally going to start crumbling soon.
Absolutely.
Sooner than we think, maybe.
But we've had this before. We could, with Zverev winning the ATP finals last year. I think very correct with Dominic Thiem. I think if Nadal chokes on the baguette, I think Thiem might be the person to do it. He's beaten Djokovic twice at the French Open. We talk about Tsitsipas, long hair. He's the future of tennis. He's the ad man's dream.
Yeah.
Thiem, less so. Nice guy. He's a friend of people
on
the tour.
One of the best personalities.
Obviously, I think Thiem might be the favourite to do it, but it's not always the favourite who sweeps up. Maybe Medvedev has showed the way to people like Tsitsipas and become the kingmaker. He showed people like Tsitsipas, look, these top guys can be beaten, but that doesn't mean that he's going to be the guy who gets the Grand
Agreed.
Slam.
But there's something maybe a bit different. We're resonating the same story for the past few years. Is it going to happen? What I feel that this year was different from all the others is that we have more names. Now we're getting a good mix of kids, new great players, challenging. And it was actually a year that the Masters 1000, the winners were from
different
names. Even Fognini got the first Masters 1000 for the first time.
Lovely to see. I'm a big fan of Fognini. I wouldn't want to go for a drink with him. He's a bit mad. But that's what you need. That's
you
what
wouldn't
you want to watch.
Play against him.
Definitely not. You know, how could I play against him? But look, we've been skirting around the elephant in the room. Hello, goodbye. David, I'm going to ask you a straight-out question here.
Go.
The new Davis Cup, better than the Laver Cup?
Can you describe to us, me and the listeners, a little bit of what's the changes, a bit more in-depth?
Of course, the old Davis Cup, you would play a country, you get drawn, and you would play alternate home and away games, a knockout competition throughout the year. Spread over the years. I couldn't tell you when it starts, when it ends, because it's spread out. It's crazy. Fitted around the circuit. It was on the wish list of every top player to win once. But after you win it once, I don't want to play
Nobody
it. This,
cared.
This could jeopardize my Grand Slam chances.
Yes.
So I've won it once. That's it. But it would be spread over 3 days. And a top player like Djokovic, you would play two singles games and you might also need to play in a doubles. So three games over 3 days. Whereas the new Davis Cup is basically over a week. Spain won it in this inaugural tournament.
They did.
I think they played every day over 7 days.
And so from now on, the Davis Cup will be always the last tournament of the year?
Yes, which is nice, I suppose, isn't it, really? Maybe the ATP should be the final one in terms of it, the race for the world number one can end here. I think the Davis Cup, part of its problem is there's a very similar tournament, an ATP kind of country-based tournament in January, almost identical in its concept. But I think that was a major change in 2019, this Davis Cup coming through. The calendar will be less crowded. Yeah, I think this could be a big change we look back on in years to come, if it catches on.
Finally, I can concentrate on the Davis Cup for a week and watch it just like I like watching all the other tournaments. So I'm looking forward. I think next year I'm going to start finally following the Davis Cup.
That is good. And let me ask, if it's Portugal versus Macau in the final, or Angola, Macau, no. Or Angola. You got an interest in all three countries through your heritage. Yes. Who are you going to support?
Wow, that's a good question. Probably Macau, but Macau would never even get close. Portugal, I mean, those three countries are, when it comes to tennis, it's never going to happen. Maybe in 100 years, 200 years, Portugal maybe.
Now, while we're on the subject of predictions,
mm-hmm.
could we have a stab at who's going to win the Grand Slams next year and what's going to happen and what the big changes are? It's an Olympic year next year. So
oh, yes, I'm excited.
The top players' schedules and priorities might be a bit different.
Last one for Federer, for example?
Yes.
Most probably.
But we thought that last Olympics, didn't we?
We did.
So that's the one thing he hasn't won, the Olympic singles title, I think. That's the only thing which is missing.
Yeah.
He was injured last time, 2016, so surely he's going to prioritise this one. Over the shorter format, could he do it?
Okay, if I would have to predict this next year, I'm going to go a little bit with my heart, and I think Medvedev wins a Grand Slam.
Which one?
Tsitsipas wins a Grand Slam. Federer wins the Wimbledon for the last time, somehow, some way.
And retires?
Maybe not just yet. Nadal and Djokovic will fight for the last one.
So what one is Tsitsipas going to win? This is where my crystal ball is cloudy.
So Tsitsipas will win one of the hardcore Grand Slams.
Wimbledon's too soon, isn't it?
Not yet.
Yeah.
I think Federer will put all his chips into this Wimbledon.
Will he play the French?
I think he will, one more time at least. I have hopes for him at Wimbledon. And then Djokovic might just step up and win three slams. You never know.
He's capable. He's capable of winning none.
Well, I was getting a bit distracted. If I'm to predict something
seismic,
a bit more realistic for me, his team finally winning the French.
Well, these are interesting predictions. Can I just play devil's advocate?
Go for it. I'm ready.
So you've got team for the French. I think based on last year, I think something will have to happen to Nadal for him not to win. I think there has to be a dip in form, which would probably be caused by an injury. I just don't think he's going to do a Djokovic and suddenly start questioning, well, what's life all about? Oh, I can't be bothered with this. He's not going to do that. So it would have to be injury, which would make him lose the French. I think he's got to be the red-hot favourite for the French. For Wimbledon, the general rule of thumb is Djokovic, what a great Wimbledon champion, is catching up with Federer there.
He is.
But he can't do it 3 years in a row. He's not quite. Something will always pop up. He will have this existential crisis where he starts thinking, oh, it's all about hitting a fuzzy yellow ball. You know, I can do more than this. So I think that might trip him up, but he's going to be back and he'll probably win the US Open.
And the Australian, maybe.
And maybe the Australian Open. Tsitsipas will be the man to beat. And I think that might weigh heavily on him for a year. And then it will suit him. It's often you win a major title, the ATP, you're the man to beat.
I like that prediction.
And you disappear for a year and then you come back.
It's been happening with Dimitrov, disappeared after the O2 finals. With Zverev, terrible year after being the man of the moment at the end of 2018. And now Tsitsipas 2019. But you see, this is not what happened with the old generation. The old generation, when they finally won that great title, then they just went up.
Yeah.
And these new kids on the block are not doing it.
No.
Can Tsitsipas do it? Is he definitely going to crumble under the pressure again, just like the other ones?
And let's not forget the Olympics. I think the Murrays and Del Potro, that'd be a great target for him to come back. I don't know how far he is back on his injury comeback. He likes the Olympics.
He loves it.
Murray loves the Olympics, and Federer is desperate to win that.
Yes.
The only cast iron certainty I will make, which might make you a bit of money down the bookies, is as sure as climate change, as sure as taxes will rise, I think Serena Williams is going to win that elusive Grand Slam title.
Finally.
That she needs to enter the record books.
Yes.
I think it's not something I want to happen. You can edit that bit out, by the way, David. but I think that is going to happen. Which brings me to my next topic. Someone else who might win a Grand Slam. You disagree? I know we've chatted about this already. But Wozniacki. She's retiring, so it's goodbye.
It's one of my favorite players.
Will it be hello to one last Grand Slam title?
I remember Bartoli won Wimbledon and immediately retired afterwards.
These women players, they retire early, don't
early.
They? Bartoli,
29 years old, Wozniacki.
Yeah, Clijsters has retired several times, and she's coming back.
Yes, so, it's true. So early, and already...
I was never that young.
No, never. Yes, she was saying that it's a new chapter in her life. Yes, you know, these top players that won so much money and tournaments, and if they stop at 30, I mean, they have a great life ahead of them anyway. They can do so many different things.
Yeah, I mean, much missed. I think she was a nice player.
Yes.
Bit of a moon baller, I've read.
She doesn't have the power from the other players. That's what made Wozniacki not win so many slams. But she did win her one Grand Slam, so she's definitely happy about that. She never had the firepower to...
Yeah, great defensive player.
That's it, yeah. She runs out every ball and she wears on her opponents. It's great. You know, following the conversation about the women, Osaka wins another Grand Slam, maybe. And I like your prediction about Serena.
Yeah, it's been a while. This is Osaka's time of the year, isn't it? She won
the Australian.
Not this year's US Open, but last year's. And then she followed that up with the Australian Open. And we thought, oh, here we go. You know, maybe even a kind of Grand Slam, not a calendar Grand Slam.
The women's tennis is very open. And in a way, it's interesting like that. But it's also lacking, you know, those two or three. Yes. There's some rivalries that should be happening like those days.
We need to talk about women's tennis more, I think.
We do,
Got someone who listens to the show, James Turner, who suggested we have an episode about what was the best rivalry in women's tennis, what era. We've got a golden era in men's tennis with Djokovic, Federer, Murray, Nadal, maybe less so Murray. But what was the golden era for women's tennis where it was like, oh my God, who's going to win? Who's going to come out on top? So
yes,
we must do this sometime.
I watch all the women's tennis.
Yeah.
All year long, just as much as the men's. I love women's tennis. But maybe one of the reasons why we're not talking so much is that there is less of, you know, that big rivalry that we can get so excited about. There's always a new winner. And that deters a little bit of the excitement from the fans.
Well, I think these early retirements get in the way of this rivalry.
Yes.
The big thing is, I mean, women, motherhood. Yeah, Clijsters retired. It was motherhood. Yes. Yeah, women and men are different in that respect, aren't they?
Are.
We have different bodies and, you know, the women often come through earlier. They kind of mature earlier as tennis players.
Exactly, yes.
So it's maybe natural that they retire earlier. Serena Williams bucks the trend, doesn't she?
Yes.
And there are others too, Billie Jean King down the years.
Serena and Venus, they're still playing, even though Venus is not the player she was once. She's still playing at 39 years old. It looks promising. I like your prediction about Serena. It's about time that she breaks the record.
You know, it's interesting because the lady she's hoping to equal the record, overtake the record, Margaret Court, is a very controversial figure too.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing record, I think, in terms of Grand Slams and beating all these people. But very controversial views on the kind of lesbian culture that she thought existed in women's tennis, and she wasn't approving of that. Controversial Serena and Margaret Court for different reasons, I think.
Yes.
Serena Williams, her run-ins with umpires, her kind of picking and choosing of tournaments, I suppose, really.
Yes.
And, kind of sometimes a seeming lack of interest in tennis. Do you think that's fair to say?
Yes, an intensity that sometimes went against her. Definitely something that she has to watch out for the next year.
One more prediction, maybe? Federer, when's he going to retire?
When he's 40.
When would you retire if you were Federer? Isn't that amazing to have played in three different decades?
It's incredible. And I think when Federer retires, he's still going to play at the Laver Cup. He's going to come back every year to play there, at least at the Laver Cup.
But how can he retire when Djokovic and Nadal are breathing down his neck? Mm-hmm. Maybe he can't retire.
Yes, that's why.
Until one of them dies. Well, they all make a pact.
Yes.
Look, come on, you know, we need to get on with the rest of our lives. Let's
exactly.
Just one more Grand Slam each. But I think if one retires, I think the others might just go.
Yes, I mean, there's definitely passion on Federer's heart and mind, but if Djokovic and Nadal were not playing like this, Federer would kind of be a bit more relaxed about it, for sure.
I think for any of them, when they reach a stage, they feel they can't win a Grand Slam.
Mm-hmm.
That's the time to go, really. So
that's what I was going to say.
Maybe the time when they're not seeded in the top 32, the wife wants to spend more time with me. Yeah, maybe that's the time to go.
Yes, you asked me if I was Federer, what I would do. Yeah, I guess that's it, isn't it? You got to play until you see that you can't compete anymore with the energy of the young ones and then let it go.
Yeah.
And then move on with life. But I think it's difficult.
Find a new job.
Yes, or don't work at all.
Librarian or whatever.
Or go around the world.
Something less stressful.
Get on a water ski and travel the world.
That's
whatever
a lovely
you
want
to do, man, whatever you want to do. Just to wrap up, if you would have to say one thing only, what was your highlight of the year, this 2019?
My highlight of the year, well, the thing which sticks in my mind the most, I think, forgetting Medvedev's amazing journey at the US Open, I'd have to say Federer yanking that forehand wide on match points. I know that's not a highlight.
Wow.
But it's the thing which sticks in my mind the most. If a highlight is something which sticks in your mind, yes. Maybe not the most positive one. I know it's painful for Federer. But these are the kind of things which just change your life. For Djokovic and Federer.
Yes.
And yourself?
I think it's probably the thing that we're all going to remember more is that loss from Federer. So my highlight of the year, I have to say, and this is a bit symbolic, but it's the comeback from Medvedev in the final at the US Open against Nadal. That represented something to me. It represented maybe the beginning of a new era.
Right.
The way that Medvedev came back against Nadal, even though he lost, gives me hope for the next year. So that's my highlight for sure.
Talking about rule change.
Okay, Jim, you go ahead first. What is the rule change?
You want
change?
Me to go first?
Yes, go for it.
Okay, my proposed rule change today, it's not just a rule change which is going to affect tennis, if accepted by you, David, this evening. It's going to affect the whole of society in England. And my rule change, which you might not think is to do with tennis at first, is the clock's changing in October. I don't know if this is the same in Portugal, Macau, but in England, to explain to our foreign listeners on the BBC World Service.
Or the Far East.
Exactly, well, especially the Far East. In the autumn, our clocks go back. So that basically means that the mornings are lighter and the evenings are darker. Now, for tennis players, tennis player like me anyway, it makes it more difficult to fix up a game in the evening. Suddenly 3 o'clock is 4 o'clock and it's dark and it's too late. And if you're working 9 to 5, which a lot of us do, we're very lucky to do that, it means it's impossible to play after work. It's just so that change, I think, has a real impact unless you're willing to get up very early in the morning and play a sweaty game of tennis before going to work.
No way.
So I would change that. I would pass that in Parliament before Brexit and before the election. We need to stop mucking around with the clocks, stop mucking around with Mother Nature, and let tennis players enjoy a late end to the summer where they can still play tennis after work.
I wish they never changed the clock. Really, we don't want to have short days like that. And even I love the night.
I'm a night owl.
Yes,
yeah.
But come on. I mean, come on.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Let's do that. And that will affect the tennis. So it is a valid rule change
and
somehow.
At private tennis clubs,
mm-hmm.
it would stop the use of floodlights.
Yes.
So it's going to save electricity. It's going to help save the planet.
Yes.
So
amazing.
You agree?
Oh, I wish I could disagree, but I don't.
So David, your rule change.
Okay, my rule change for today is I want Wimbledon to stop breaking tennis matches after 10 p.m.
Yes, so it's really the Wimbledon residents, isn't it? And that the club has to kind of respect their wishes. But with the indoor kind of stuff, they can carry on a bit later.
Now they have indoor. They could do it. They're still stopping
I don't know. Say if there's rain, and so they have an indoor match at 8:30 and it carries on. Do they cut it off at 10 o'clock?
They are cutting off at 10 o'clock anyway, any match, indoors or outdoors. The night brings special sensations to the human beings. That's why parties are in the night. That's why people go out to have fun in the night, to feel open. And there's something about the night that makes the tennis matches very exciting. The night also makes the fans very excited.
It's not just for owls, is it?
It just affects all people on the world. And 10 p.m., it's just too early. So stop the madness.
I think this is interesting. I think, with late matches, you really feel like, oh, wow, you know, this. It's like your parents letting you stay up late. It's that kind of thrill watching a late match.
It's incredible. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, definitely.
And not only cut. Come on in. Steve-o, what's
up?
Hey. How are you doing, man?
There's somebody at the
door. Sit there for a second. So Stephen, which is going to be our guest in the episode 7, I think, in January, just arrived to visit us for a bit, to talk about tennis, actually.
Kind of job shadowing, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Before the real job.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And we were just wrapping up the show, and we were talking about the rule changes. Maybe you can give your opinion on both. I was saying that I want Wimbledon to stop blocking matches at 10 p.m., and I was even going to say, no tennis match in the world, in a Grand Slam, should ever be stopped for no reason other than a natural disaster or a war.
No, I disagree. I like the tradition of Wimbledon before, when it was always just a daytime tournament. You never played under floodlights or anything. You never get the outdoor courts going late. Why should just the stars on centre and now number one court get to play as late to finish a match?
Mm-hmm. So you would continue with 10 o'clock?
I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't have floodlights at all. I'd just go for how it was before.
That's a classic view. It's an old way.
Mm-hmm. I think they should start earlier, though, is one thing I'd say, because they don't start on the show courts till, was it 1 or 2?
Really? So they start so late?
It's because it's lazy. It's really corporate, basically. They want them to have their corporate lunch and then go watch the match afterwards.
No, a lot of the ball boys and ball girls, they're teenagers, so they get up late. So that's the reason. But what about, Stephen, in terms of the indoor court, which is centre court, and I think number one court is going to be indoors. Could that be the exception? Could they carry on till stupid o'clock in the morning? So you're watching Piers and Susanna on the breakfast TV and the TV's still going on? Would that be the exception with the indoor courts?
No, I still wouldn't want the indoor courts to do that either. And I'm still a bit annoyed with the indoor courts, especially from, wasn't last year, was it 2 years ago when Djokovic and Nadal played?
Yes, and, semifinals.
Djokovic insisted the roof was still closed the next day when it was perfect weather conditions, because they didn't want to change it halfway through the match, but it always changes the other way.
And who won?
And Djokovic won by a very slender margin, and the roof clearly benefited.
Great match,
Oh, amazing match. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it separates the men from the boys in terms of, if it goes on till 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, you know, a casual tennis fan might watch it till 9 o'clock before they go to bed, kind of thing. But a true tennis fan will stay up overnight. And it's that excitement of waking up in the morning, say if you have to go to bed early, and the breakfast news saying, oh, yes, this was the result. And you go, oh, wow, and that finished at 2 o'clock.
Yes.
So, I think there's something to be said with that. I think it'd be a bit much if it was on every court. But
I would even put it on every court. But after what you said about the neighborhood sound problem, I kind of give a few points to Wimbledon for stopping it. But yes, I never like when matches are stopped, even the rule change that I came up with the last episode, which was about putting tie breaks in the end of matches at all Grand Slams now almost, which is very sad. I love when I see players just playing forever until the end of the world. And what about the other rule change that Jim suggested? What did you suggest?
It is clocks going back in October.
He wants to stop it.
It makes it far harder for us to play after work.
What do you think?
There was talk, the government were talking about moving the clock even further the other way, 2 hours.
Yeah,
oh my God.
I guess 2 hours extra light in the evening in winter.
And so instead of going back 1 hour?
It'll go forward one, just so that you can get, because they think everyone will be healthier if they have the daylight to do exercise in the evening after work through winter.
I think evening is the time to do stuff, really.
Yes.
And no one really needs daylight to work.
I like what you said then, Steve. So where do you stand? Shall we
I'm all for more light in the evening. Exactly. I think it's far better. I don't need to go to work in daylight. I mean, surely children can start later.
Yeah,
farmers can start later and finish later.
Yes.
I mean,
basically, to sum up to any argument, what's more important, children or tennis? So, is it carried? What do you think?
I love it.
Even off the top of your head, can you think of any rule change yourself?
That's true.
There's one that's been winding me up recently, and it's when players deliberately challenge for a breather.
When they know the ball's out.
Yeah.
I feel like if it's
a decent distance away from the line, it should be either a double challenge removed or something like that, just to stop.
I hadn't thought of that. Yeah,
that tactic.
That makes sense. And then they lose the point. Simple as that.
Or they lose two challenges instead of one. Just
Oh wow, that's a good one.
That's not bad. Yeah.
Nice.
So
I didn't expect that.
A cynical use, and it's like, you think
it's taking advantage of a new rule.
Yes. Which
I like. Yeah, all three suggestions have gone in.
Unbelievable.
This is yes.
We all want it, man.
Where do the suggestions go? Where do the suggestions go?
They go on the internet.
Okay, and then we wait for someone higher up to pick it up.
Exactly. Yes.
We're still waiting for the big
bosses.
Yeah, the big bosses to start listening to this show and then start really making a difference.
Excellent. So,
thank you very much for coming, Stephen. Interrupting us in the middle.
Join in.
Yeah. So next January we'll have Stephen for the whole show.
Absolutely.
And just to let you know, Stephen is also a friend of ours, and he lives in Brighton, and he's a great tennis player, and he loves throwing the racket.
Yeah.
Sometimes, from time to time.
A good serve.
Which it's another rule change that I have to bring one of these days.
What rule change is that, sorry?
That people are allowed to break their records, goddammit.
Come on! Yeah, my rule change is if you break the racket during a game, you have to play the rest of the game with that broken racket.
Hey, there you go.
Should we discuss that next episode?
Let's do it.
We'll do that next episode and see what you think. So, good night from me.
And from me.
And from me as well.
All right, see you later.
Ta-ra.